If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. The Obama administration did not anticipate problems with healthcare.gov on the scale of the ones that have been experienced over the past 3 weeks, the White House said today.
While we knew that there would be some glitches and actually said publicly that we expected some problems, we did not know until the problems manifested themselves after the launch that they would be as significant as they have turned out to be.
Spokesman Jay Carney. His comments were in part in response to Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius's claim yesterday that President Obama was not aware of the scale of the problems with the site ahead of its October 1st launch. Meanwhile, the Washington Post reported that maybe the biggest problem with the website is the fact that it seems to be transmitting incorrect information about enrollees to insurance companies. The report documents issues with so-called 834 forms, which contain key info about those who have signed up for plans. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
This is Radio Free America. Duke Brooks is my name. This is Wednesday, October 23rd, 2013 edition. I can't believe October is almost gone. Look, we're seriously into autumn here in the Mid-Atlantic. We're a month into the season, and it's getting cold. It's getting cold at night, and it's getting chilly during the day. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. Thanks very much for being along tonight. Sorry about getting on the air about 10-12 seconds late tonight. I had some minor internet problems and not really all about, you know, guys that just uses the computer. I really don't know how it works. I mean, what is it? Is it little tiny obviously it's electronic, combination of that, magnetic. I think the only thing that is mechanical is the hard drive, but I suspect that the kind of hard drive that we're all used to is probably going to be going away at some point in the not too distant future. There, correct me if I'm wrong. I might be that some of these really fancy new computers—they even have mechanical hard drives in them. They have some kind of solid state drive, like the X6. Place now. I think, you know, every once in a while, if I have to go somewhere and information from where my memory stick on a lanyard around my neck because it's just so cool. 718-305-7176. There was Jay Carney, as we just heard from Jeff Holtzman's Washington newscast. There he was. The president just had no idea what was good. Does he have an idea about anything? Isn't that a fair question? I mean, you know, we have to look back all through this guy's presidency, and we have to come to the conclusion that either the guy is doing, either Obama is doing things deliberately to hurt the country, or Obama has absolutely no clue what is going on in the country. It is tremendous, just, you know, unbelievable. He really had no idea what was going on in Benghazi on September 11, 2012, last year. He has no idea what's going on with Obamacare. He had no idea the IRS was targeting conservative groups. He did not know that the National Security Agency was collecting what's known as metadata on all kinds of Americans' phone calls and email. He didn't know that. Is there anything the guy does know? I mean, seriously, I can't be the only one who is asking this question at this point. What on earth does the guy know? Anything? I would hope. He's supposed to be the commander-in-chief. It's pretty unbelievable. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. If you are listening on podcast, of course, I don't want you to worry about that because you're not going to be able to call in if you are on a podcast, but I'm very glad that you are with us anyway. We do expect to be hearing from Christian calling in from Denmark, our official international correspondent. But other than that, I thought you and I might just kind of chat a little bit about, you know, the Obamacare situation. This is what happens when you try to drive a square peg into a round hole. This is what happens when you try to basically impose socialist thinking on a non-socialist country. This is a free enterprise, free market economy here in this country. It is not a socialist economy. Americans don't think in the kind of collective thinking terms, we're all in this together and, you know, I am my brother's keeper and all that kind of stuff. We do not think that way, the way people from east of, really, I would say, Greece east of there, the normal human thinking is kind of collectivist. And then when you get to the extreme eastern edge of the Asian continent of the Orient, when you get to South Korea and Japan, the collective thinking seems to go away. I think the Japanese never seemed to be that sort of socialistically inclined. They fall very hard, but they do that for the reason essentially. The Eastern European countries, Czechoslovakia, places like that, they have always been very comfortable with the kind of shared sort of society that obviously President Obama wants to America. I'm just very, very glad that people are beginning to realize just what frankly, the guy's an incompetent. I just don't know. But how else can either the guy is a complete incompetent or the guy is actually trying to do damage? He said he wanted to fundamentally change America. Remember that at his nomination speech when he said, now you can say you were there when the earth began to heal and when the oceans began to recede and when it was no longer Bush's fault and all that kind of stuff. I remember that speech. I kind of wanted to, you know, like, heave. I mean, please, you know. I think that this guy believes his own BS, and I think that the media in this country, well, clearly, I mean, there isn't any question about it. They believe his BS, too. They want to. They want to make sure that the president's agenda is completed because they are agenda-driven left-wingers as well. There isn't any doubt about that. 718-305-7176 is the number. Thanks a lot for being along tonight. As I mentioned earlier, it is getting cold. Incidentally, I don't know how much of a film fan you are. A movie broke into the theaters about 3 weeks ago, a little less than 3 weeks ago. The movie is called Parkland, and Paul Giamatti is in it. Billy Bob Thornton is in it. And this is a movie about the assassination of President Kennedy. And it's not playing anywhere. I checked into it today. It had something like a $25 million budget. And it made a little over $500,000 at the box office. I just don't, I have no idea what do you do in Hollywood when that happens? Seriously, I mean, what on earth do you do in Hollywood when that kind of thing happens? I guess there are some people, generally speaking, I would imagine, whose careers will be over. That is not the case if you are an employee of the United States government. If you're in the military, you can get thrown out. But I don't think you can do anything else to a government employee. I think that they, no matter, obviously there is no price for failure in Washington. There is no accountability. You can screw something up really bad, and they keep you there. Got to be honest with you, I don't understand it. Civil service reform is something that we have to begin speaking about. We have to begin talking about it. I believe it is at the root of all the problems that we're having with our government. You know, it's about 13 minutes after the top of the hour now. We here at conservativenationmedia.com, we believe in starting off the work week every Monday in a big way. We call it Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, let me tell you, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over this country. David Vance brings his veterans' insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check it out. It's brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council, a bunch of good guys there in the volunteer state. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. David is a great guy. He spent most of his career in the United States Army, and he started working for us in June, and he sounds good. You've got to listen to it. He sounds really good, and I think predominantly because he does things the way I have asked him to do things, and that's a good thing. He sounds terrific, and I am so happy that he's on our network. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Yours truly, Duke Brooks, here to hold your hand. You can hold mine by reaching out and calling at 718-305-7176. If you make a mistake, basically a $22.5 million mistake in Hollywood, the chances are that your career is if you make a mistake that costs your company money, you make a mistake particularly if the company believes that they do not have to recover that money or they really want to recover it. You're out there. There was a Mars spacecraft that was sent out there at 1999, something like that, and the spacecraft crash-landed on Mars, a lot of the spacecraft that are sent to Mars do not get there successfully. Is quite a long way away. I think it's like 100 million miles from Earth, something like that. The Earth is 94 Mars is twice its distance. But the spacecraft crashed. NASA had a lot of high hopes for it. They found out doing kind of a post-mortem that the reason the spacecraft had crash-landed was because some guy working at NASA had not converted some of the navigation numbers and some of the other program numbers from English units into metric. He had not converted things from yards into meters, essentially, miles into kilometers. Centimeters into inches. He had not done it, vice versa. Guess what? I'm not kidding. He kept his job. Something like a $300 million problem. He kept his job. No question about it. We're going to take a break. More coming up. Stay right where you are.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Molon LeVay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeVay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Hey, Dad, how do you throw a curveball? How do you build a fort? How do refrigerators run? How do fish learn how to swim?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
How high can you jump?
But you don't have to know every answer.
How many phone numbers are there?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
How do cell phones work?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
What's electricity?
They just need you.
What's the moon made of?
For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Here at the GED Pep Talk Center, we've got a range of pep talkers standing by. Call 1-877-38-YOUR-GED or visit yourged.org and find free classes in your area. GED is a registered trademark of the American Council on Education, brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Welcome back. This is Radio Free America. Media.com. The number is 718-305-7176. We have been talking a little bit about the healthcare debacle, which is underway right now. This comes through Drudge Report from the Washington Examiner. Very interesting. This crossed the wires this afternoon at about 1:30 Eastern Time by Mark Flatten. Even as Washington gets heat for snooping on ordinary Americans and warning them that they, quote, have no reasonable expectation of privacy, unquote, on healthcare.gov, federal officials are increasingly using the, quote, personal privacy, unquote, exemption in the law to shield their employees from scrutiny, according to open government advocates. Information about pay bonuses, disciplinary actions, and severance packages are being withheld by federal agencies, citing the personal privacy concerns of their employees. That is in vivid contrast to the privacy warning buried in the source code for healthcare.gov, according to the Weekly Standard. Quote, "You have no reasonable expectation of privacy regarding any communication or data transiting or stored on this information system," unquote. The warning reads, "It can only be seen by using a web browser's view source function." The section of the Federal Freedom of Information Act intended solely to protect purely personal information like social security numbers, home addresses, medical records, is now being used to shield government workers from accountability in their jobs, transparency advocates say. Quote, "I do think there is increased reliance on exemptions for privacy," said Ann Weissman, chief counsel for Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, a nonprofit watchdog group with extensive experience in Freedom of Information Act litigation. Quote, "They are just operating under the view that anything dealing with an individual employee is protected. And that goes way too far. It's become the exception that is swallowing the rule." Yeah, no kidding. Listen, if somebody is a very serious, if somebody makes really serious mistakes in their federal employment, if they do something that is really wrong, if they do something that they are absolutely, not supposed to do, and it turns into a major problem, why should that information, since these people are employed by the public, why should it not be made available to the public? I don't understand. The civil service laws are 130 years old. We have been employing people in the federal government and in most states based on civil service laws that came into existence, I think, in the Obama administration. It was not even already in effect. Talked about last year when he was running for president, and you can have it right. He's right about a lot of things. As far as I know who your outlook is, I don't know how well you know Newt Gingrich. I know he has been demonized by the press. The press hates conservative Republicans. That's one of the reasons why the press has given very, very little coverage to the IRS targeting of Tea Party and conservative groups. They just kind of wanted to, they just sort of smirked at that and kind of grinned at it a little bit and thought, hey, there's nothing too bad that can happen to them. I really don't like them. Way that the vast majority of reporters, managing editors, I have heard quite a bit say the Tea Party should not have received any exemptions or any status under the Internal Revenue Code because they shouldn't have. And they have no problem left-wing groups getting those exemptions. They have a perfectly good reason for that, but in this case, in the case of conservatives and Republicans, no, they do not want anything like that granted to the Republicans and conservatives. They're patriotic in their names. That's pretty much it. They absolutely, note. This just goes to demonstrate how the press in this country is simply no longer objective. They're not. They are no longer. I'm not really sure they ever really were. You know, the First Amendment is the only country that has the sweeping level of press, freedom of speech, that we have in this country. United Kingdom does not have a constitution. They can pretty much come up with any laws that they want to. Their parliament can. Their parliament was on occupation a long time ago. They still have elections, but there are elections when the majesty comes to the election. I'm not sure if they are. But the parliamentary system, basically the government is accountable to itself. It's really not accountable to the people. And when the Labour Party, which is the Socialist Party over there, they call it Labour, it's Socialist Party in the country. When they begin losing the seat in the parliament, they do kind of thing. Do you really think those guys would willingly submit to the electorate if the electorate had absolutely no means of physically defending itself from government? I must be kidding. There's no way those guys would actually submit to the voters if they were the only ones that had guns. If only the government. The Brits are disarmed. Remember the video of the black guy from Nigeria, the Mohammedan, that had decapitated the soldier in London and left him there to die on the street? And then when a TV camera showed up, the guy stood there and talked about what he had done and why. I think he is going to be put on trial at some point soon, but I suspect he will be acquitted. I don't think anyone will be held accountable. I believe the trooper's name was Digby. His last name was Digby. He was in a unit called the Fusiliers of Her Majesty's Army. I doubt he's going to be convicted. I really do. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. On conservativenationmedia.com, Duke Brooks here. Thanks very much for being along this evening. You know, we have some really interesting things that are coming up on the network. We've got some new shows starting, some new people with us. Sadly, a couple of our friends are going away, but hey, you know, this is the big time after all. We are 30 minutes after the hour. I'm glad you're along, and I am going to presume that since you are listening to conservativenationmedia.com, that you are a conservative. That, of course, means that you love our country just like we do, and you probably also don't want to get caught short in case this leftist government in D.C. drops the ball, or worse, and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Now, since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That's going to take you to the world's best warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Save your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds, starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the revolution. This is where America always wins. More coming up. Don't go away.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Awesome.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it. But he just throws it. Again. I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a... goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? GoatsfortheOldGoat.com.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it. You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
That Eric Clapton played a moment ago at the beginning of George Harrison by the Beatles. You know, if you don't know that, if you don't know what song that was, who did it, what the album was, that means one of two things. You're over the age of 80 or you are under the age of 30. I say don't take anybody under 30. 718-305-7176 is the number. I was looking at that article that I quoted a few weeks ago in the Washington Examiner about how the government is now using the privacy exemption act. Government employees are doing You might know more about this than I do, and if you do, give me a call at 718-305-7176. There's some entertainment out there whose name is Beyonce. I have no idea what reference to point to Beyonce. She's up on all that stuff. And, yeah, I mean, seriously, you know, if you're not from the classic rock era, or at least about the latest music that I even found to be powerful was around 1977. Forget about it. Anyway, this would be my head. had gotten wind of the idea, apparently, that she lip-synced the words to the national anthem, kind of like Billy Vanilli. Remember that scandal in 1990 or whatever it was at the Grammys? They were singing. But anyway, they wanted to get information about this to find out whether or not she actually did lip sync, apparently whether this was something that was planned. So the Navy and the U.S. Marine Band is part of the Navy, like the U.S. Marine Corps. My dad was a Marine, and facts are found. There's some weathernecks out there right now that are thinking, we're not part of the Navy. I'm sorry, man. Anyway, apparently what the Navy did is they gave the Freedom of Information requested documents to the Washington Examiner, but they had blacked out the name of the singer Beyoncé. Can you imagine? Apparently everybody in the entire world knows who that is, and since probably a large number of people watch it on television, I think I didn't watch Bill Clinton. I watched the first 5 minutes of Bill Clinton's inauguration. I did not watch the second. I'm not watching the inauguration of the Democrat president. I think it's horrible. I don't want a Democrat in my house. It's just a janitor or something. It's just a Democrat. But in any event, you can imagine anything as foolish as the newspaper Freedom of Information requested documents that have the name that was some kind of a recording artist. Privacy. I think it was wrong that U.S. government get privacy rights, but United States citizens. This is what they said, that we are now moving into a country where the people serve the government. That's basically where we're going right now. That's that recently government employees, collective legislators, will look at you with a straight face, and they will use phrases such as, our government has the right to do so and so, or the right to do that and the other thing. Our department, our agency, has the right to listen to you, and we have the right to find you, the right to prosecute and investigate you. This is a very serious problem because it is wrongful for government employees to have in their minds the idea that they have rights while the citizens privileges. Any time you tell a government employee that you are going to vote against somebody, or you're going to file a complaint, or you are going to do something that the law allows you to do, the government employee, especially a career bureaucrat, invariably will say that is your privilege. Well, I've got some news for those people. Congress and into the Senate. We're going to have to get somebody into the White House that is going to take on these government agencies and is going to break them up. We're just going to have to do something like that. There's no question about it. Absolutely no question about it. This is a very serious problem. Government in this country, in case you're not aware, does not have rights. In this country, government has obligations, responsibilities, duties, powers, and authorities, but it has no rights. In this country, people have rights. I said this to somebody on one occasion who at the time had just, he was the president of a county council in Maryland. This guy is really a good guy. He is a rhino. He's a lawyer. He's in private business now. And he's a very good friend of mine. He and I were together for several years after he left the county council. And I think to him on one day, he has said things that the county council had the right to stop people from subdividing the land. They had the right to decline people, et cetera. And I talked to him about the idea of privilege versus right, differences were. And he just kind of shrugged his shoulders. He's still a big government liberal. You know, he's still somebody who's a Republican. Someone who believes that everything must be done for the benefit of the government first. It is about 17 minutes now before the top of the hour. I mentioned that we have some new programs here on conservativenationmedia.com. Let me tell you about one of them. Country. You know, we've got the Tennessee Action Council on the air with us, David Vance and his backup guy. They're in Tennessee. We're going to be hearing from somebody else in about an hour whose new show debuts on Friday, after tomorrow, the 5th of October. She lives in Tennessee. But you're going to like it, I can guarantee you. We've got another one that's starting Halloween on Thursday, a week from tomorrow. That is going to be a blast. You are going to love it. In any event, I'm going to take a real quick break here. And more of your calls and more about the general state of things when we come back. So stay right where you are.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all
of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Wow.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it. But he just throws it. Again. I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a... goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan.
So, do you like it?
Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it. You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Okay, sorry about that. That was my mistake. I played the wrong, what's called a stop set. You know, they have a special wing at the Texas Department of Corrections prison in Huntsville, Texas, for Internet radio. Next time I hear from Andy Dufresne, I'll give you a call. 718-305-7176 is the number. At Radio Free America, Duke Brooks is my name, and thanks very much for being along this evening. Here is something from Fox News via the Drudge Report. This came out today. It's by somebody named Joshua Miller. The U.S. Navy sold its first supercarrier, the USS Forrestal. It's 1,067 feet long, to a Texas company. All-star metals to be dismantled, scrapped, and recycled, Navy officials announced. It's an inauspicious fate for a ship with a colorful history. It's perhaps best known for a 1967 incident in which stray voltage triggered an accidental explosion that struck a plane on the flight deck whose cockpit was occupied by a young John S. McCain. Chain reaction of blasts and fires ultimately killed 134 men. And injured more than 300, but its rich past and nearly four decades of service are not enough to spare it. The Navy tried to donate the historic ship for use as a memorial or a museum, but no, quote, viable applications were received, unquote. It's something that the Navy is caught between a rock and a hard place, unquote, said Ken Kilmeyer, historian for the USS Forrestal Association, and a survivor of the 1967 incident. They have to have these vessels no matter how big or how small they are, and they use them as you would your car until they're no longer financially viable, so they decommission them. All right, I get that. I understand that. Financially or technologically or militarily, you know. The company plans to tow the aircraft carrier from its current location at the Navy's inactive ship facility in Philadelphia to its facility in Brownsville, Texas. All-Star Metals anteed up the 1 cent purchase price based on its anticipated cost of moving and dismantling the ship and the value of the scrap metal it will yield, according to a Navy press release. Named for James Forrestal, the former Navy secretary, and the first U.S. Secretary of Defense. That would have been around 1947. The carrier was lauded as the biggest ship ever built by Popular Science, which detailed it. In its August 1954 issue, more than 16,000 engineers, draftsmen, and builders worked on the ship. I mean, the Forrestal is, you know, unbelievable, huge aircraft carrier. You have probably seen films of that accident, that deck accident. I saw a documentary about that the other day, and basically someone had, I guess, you know, you've got a, I think it was an F-4 Phantom on the fantail, on the after part of the flight deck, and they were conducting launching operations at the time, so the stern half of the ship had probably two dozen airplanes parked on it. While they were launching airplanes off of thousands of volts, and one of the parked airplanes had missed. They were getting ready to go out on a mission in Vietnam, and one of the missiles and it went right into an A4 Skyhawk, I think, that shot the cane was actually the center of Arizona. I mean, I can't imagine actually having been in the Navy in 1967, because I thought that he was the senator from Arizona going back to about 1920. Sure seems that way, doesn't it? And this took place on the Forrestal. I don't know what the Navy means by no viable applications for some organization or museum to have the as a museum the way the USS Intrepid, the aircraft carrier, New York City has aircraft carrier for decades. That was the space incredible airplanes on the flight deck. Other ones on the river deck below. The Intrepid is a wonderful museum show. The USS Yorktown 2, not the original Yorktown. That one was sank at the Battle of Midway in 1942, but they commissioned another Yorktown shortly thereafter. That probably really fooled the Japanese. For a little, I mean, the Yorktown fooled the daylights out of them at the Battle of Midway. But the Yorktown 2 is in Charleston. Actually, it's in on the water in a suburb of Charleston called Mount Pleasant. But for all intents and purposes, it is Charleston Harbor. You know, Fort Sumter and the Citadel and the Battery and all that stuff. That is where it is located, and I went on board the Yorktown when I was there back in 1998, and the Medal of Honor Center is located on the USS Yorktown. There it is. I went in there. It was wonderful. You know, the Medal of Honor most people that receive the Medal of Honor dead, you know, so that should tell you something. I mean, you've got to really be something to receive the Medal of Honor. If that is conferred upon you, you have really, really distinguished yourself in very serious combat. And I went there, and there was a guy there, a historian, with the last name of Presley, who was getting his PhD in history and was studying the Medal of Honor. And he knew about every guy that had won the Medal of Honor. I knew about a couple of them. I mentioned to him one guy in World War II. This was a on a Boeing B-29 Superfortress, and they were bombing Japan. And apparently it was and some anti-aircraft shells hit the B-29 think some phosphorus-based weapon that they had, I think it was a very simple that was built into the airplane or something. They had one on board, and the phosphorus decided that it would not be in the airplane. And one of the crewmen saw this inside the airplane, and he realized that if the phosphorus continued to burn, it was going to burn through the fuselage of the airplane, because phosphorus burns very, very hot. It's going to burn through the fuselage. It might avoid that. It was in a location of the airplane that was described as extremely hazardous. And what the guy did was up with his bare hand. He walked into the cockpit. They were at a low level, so the airplane was not pressurized. He said, "Excuse me, sir," to the pilot. He opened the window and he threw it out. The guy's hand, miraculously, was very seriously wounded and damaged, and as a result of it, he still had his hand, but he got the Medal of Honor for that. And I mentioned this in this incident to Mr. Presley, who I met at the Yorktown Medal of Honor Center that day, and he knew everything about it. And right away he took me and was like, "Oh yeah, here's a picture of him. Here's the site." Yorktown, USS Yorktown in Charleston Harbor. I'm just wondering why some cities
America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
You're struggling with your mortgage. You think about it. You don't do anything but think about it.
What are we going to do if we lose the house? Where are we going to go?
At work.
I can't let anybody find out. I'm so embarrassed.
At dinner.
How can I tell the kids? It's going to wreck their lives.
And at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get through this. What's going to happen to us?
It's time to stop thinking. It's time to start dialing. Call 1-888-995-HOPE for a free government program that offers expert one-on-one advice about your mortgage options.
I'm all alone.
No, you're not. We've helped over a million homeowners, and we want to help you. And now there are more ways to help. Call 1-888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Here. This is conservativenationmedia.com. This is Radio Free America. The number is 718-305-7176. Thanks very much for being along. We started looking at some of the bizarre things that have taken place with the Obama administration's handling of our government. The idea that government employees have privacy, whereas you do not. They just want to spy on people. We must reform civil service. You know, if we don't reform civil service and people continue to get jobs in the U.S. government, I mean, the open secret about the U.S. government is that once you get in there and you get past a certain probationary period, you're basically there for life. You have to commit a really serious crime in order to lose your income at taxpayers' expense. 718-305-7176 is the number. And as a result, people, there's a certain kind of person that is drawn to U.S. government employment or government employment in most of the states simply because they want that security and they want to know that, you know, they can be late for work a bunch of times. They can be late getting things done. They can make all kinds of other many, many minor errors, quite a few medium-scale ones, even a lot of very big ones, and they are still going to have a paycheck. And it is just never, ever going to end. And as long as people know that they can make all the mistakes they want, and they are not going to lose their income. Let me ask you this. What is the point of having people do things? I mean, if you're going to continue to get very, very serious errors as long as people know they cannot be fired. I mean, am I right about this? 718-305-7176. I've got plenty of relatives, good ones, close ones, who have worked for the United States government their entire careers. My family is from my mom's side is from the Baltimore area. So, getting a job in the federal government that's a kind of a logical thing to do around there because it's right down the street, essentially. And I've often brought this up, especially to my cousin Frank, how every day you can find something somewhere about waste in the U.S. government, And his response to me was pretty much the same thing all the time, which was, you don't know the half of it. Apparently, the cases that are not all that bad, they get reported. The ones that are really bad, they are kept secret. So I think, you know, we obviously have some very, 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 very serious issues in the U.S. government. And if we don't do something about it, the government is basically, the entire country is pretty much going to sort of kind of collapse under its own weight. You know, I would think that the U.S. government agencies are eventually going to kind of very slowly sort of grind to a halt on its own. And at some point, someone is going to say, I applied for a permit to do blah, blah, blah. And they're going to be told by one agency, we can't issue the permit until it gets cleared by another agency. The other agency isn't going to talk to you because you didn't apply to them. You applied to us. We can't issue this permit. We're waiting to hear. But it is just going to grind everything to a halt. And I can guarantee you that with most of the legislators, they're not allowed to do anything about it. They're really not allowed to go to bat for a constituent. I mean, if a constituent is being harassed by a government agency or if a government agency is threatening to fine or prosecute the constituent, the senators and the congressmen are not allowed to do anything about that. It's this is very, very bad. I mean, they can talk all they want on behalf of the police, but they can't do anything on behalf of their citizens, their constituents, basically. You know, as the only way that we can get their attention, at the end of the day, the only way we can get their attention is to fire them. And even then, the ones that are left, the ones that didn't get fired, they just go on with business as usual. They figure, hey, my district is safe. I don't have to answer to anything that my constituents ask me about. I don't have to answer to them. I will tell them what to do. I will not ask them what they want done. After all, I'm an almighty senator. Isn't that about right? 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. I mentioned the film Parkland earlier. I would like to see it. Another one I wanted to see earlier this year is called Copperhead. Copperhead was in the theaters for about a day and a half, and then it was gone. Apparently, nobody went to see it. I haven't seen it yet. I think it's on pay-per-view or something. Maybe I'll see it. I don't know. I kind of wonder, Copperhead was made by Ron Maxwell. Ron Maxwell made Gettysburg, which was a very good film, about the Battle of Gettysburg, of course. Then he came out with what technically is a prequel to the movie called Gods and Generals, which really was not a particularly good film. It just wasn't a very good movie. There were a lot of things in it that, really should have been on the screen, were not included, that should have been. And a lot of things in the movie that should not have been there that were. You know, it just was not a very good movie. And he's trying to make a third Civil War film, but because the movie Copperhead, absolutely nothing happened with it. It was in the theaters for about a week, and then it was pulled. And then the next thing, it was on pay-per-view. And I'm presuming at some point it might be on DVD. I don't know. But it was just not a very, very horribly reviewed. People didn't like it. Peter Fonda is in the movie. I didn't recognize the names of anybody else. Of course, I didn't know who Beyonce was, so go figure. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. Duke Brooks here. Thanks very much for being along this evening. And if you're listening to a podcast, you might be listening at, oh, I don't know, you know, 20 after 1 in the morning. I have no idea. You might be listening at lunchtime when you're at work. I hope you are. I don't want you to, you know, do anything to degrade your job performance. Unless you're a U.S. government employee, then it really doesn't matter. I mean, we were hearing stories for a long time about there was a U.S. attorney at the Securities and Exchange Commission that apparently the guy would come into his office in the morning. He would close the office door, and he would sit there on his U.S. government computer and look at porn sites all day long. Did this for weeks. Absolutely nothing happened to him. He is still employed by the U.S. government. Well, the government is getting bigger all the time. So are we, by the way. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, no question about that. And the best way that we can think of to expand our lineup is to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, immediately following Soldier of Patriotism with Michael Smith on conservativenationmedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 Eastern, 5 Central, conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Of course, they really don't need one because they have the New York Times and the CBS Evening News and CNN and MSNBC, etc. So they really need conservative internet talk. But I would imagine that since our phrase is where America always wins, I would imagine their phrase is where America always wins, where socialism always wins, where the government always wins. Anyway, coming up on 14 minutes after the second hour, speaking of the Civil War, we will be having Civil War history in a few minutes. Still a subject. The Civil War, it is simply too large of a subject. Even three movies is not enough to adequately cover the Civil War. There's no question about it. Ron Maxwell's movie Gettysburg was a very well done movie. It looks a lot better, it looks better on the small screen than it does on the big screen. The reason is that on the big screen, the beards just looked terrible. They were awful. They didn't look anything like real beards. But on the small screen on TV, they kind of look passable. You know, they just, for some reason, they just did not come off very well. All the individual hairs in the beards where they all kind of stood out in stark relief, and it just didn't look good at all. That was a serious problem. Other than that, Gettysburg was a very good movie. I was at the premiere of the movie, Gettysburg, and I think that this would have been in the fall of 1993. The year before, in 92, he was shooting the movie up there, and I think I'm the only Civil War reenactor in the country that was not much to my girlfriend's chagrin. I'm always pointing out the different people that I know and used to reenact with who were in that film. Gettysburg was pretty good. There is a 4-hour-long version of Gettysburg that you can see on YouTube. And I've watched it several times, and I think it's very interesting. Listen, I love the Civil War. I love Civil War history. But it's not, even 4 hours, that is not enough to do justice to the entire Battle of Gettysburg. Anyway, time for a break. Civil War history coming up. Stay right where you are.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
You know, it's okay to rock and roll and party. Just let someone else do the driving. Hi, this is Ray Manzarek of The Doors for RAD. Please don't drink and drive, and don't drive with someone else who's been drinking.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Bring on through, bring on through, bring on through. Hey, 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 hey.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
My name is Ruth Rusey. I volunteer with United Way, reading to children to help prepare them for a better academic future. I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. We're about 19 minutes into the second hour here at Radio Free America. And speaking of the Civil War, of course, you know what that music means. This is from the Civil War Day by Day by E.B. Long and Barbara Long. October 23rd in 1863, 50 years ago, was a Friday back then. In a major command change, President Jefferson Davis relieved General Leonidas Polk from command of a corps in the Army of Tennessee. Polk was assigned to organizational work in Mississippi, replacing General Hardy. Davis issued his orders from Meridian, Mississippi, another step in his western tour. About dark on that day, General Grant and his party arrived at Chattanooga and stopped at General Thomas's headquarters. Soon Grant learned the details of the threatened situation of the besieged Army of the Cumberland. Yet another skirmish broke out near Rappahannock Station, Virginia, as the armies in Virginia again probed each other. A skirmish was also fought at Warm Springs, North Carolina. General Thomas, at this point, did not have an awful lot longer to live. He was killed. Thomas, who was killed. In any event, 718-305-7176 is the number. Very glad that you could be along. this evening and on podcast at points in the future. We have been talking a little bit about really what is going on in the U.S. government now. I've just been informed there was a murder in the town of Danvers, Massachusetts. Let's see here. This is coming from Matt Drudge, and this is from U.S. News on NBCNews.com. Massachusetts police say they linked a 14-year-old high school student to the murder of math teacher Colleen Ritzer through video surveillance and his own words. Philip Chisholm, a freshman at Danvers High School, was charged as an adult with first-degree murder. He was ordered held without bail at a Wednesday afternoon arraignment in Salem. That was today. A criminal complaint states authorities, quote, learned from an interview of the juvenile suspect and video surveillance recovered at the school that the suspect assaulted and killed Ritzer and then dumped her body. Ritzer was 24 and was found just after midnight in the woods near the school about a half hour outside Boston. Blood was found in a second floor bathroom at the school, authorities said. Authorities did not discuss a motive or say how the teacher, who was in a graduate program on school counseling, was killed. Chisholm had recently moved to Danvers from Tennessee and was new to the school. He had a spot on the JV soccer squad. He was reported missing Tuesday when he didn't come home from school, and other Danvers students joined the hunt from around 11:20 p.m. that night. Police learned that Ritzer was missing. Her body was found in the woods, and Chisholm was picked up while walking along a highway soon after. Based on his statements and the corroborating evidence found at multiple scenes at the high school and surrounding wooded area, he was subsequently placed in custody and booked for murder, the complaint says. I've seen some pictures of this guy. He is an African-American guy. I can tell you, you will not see pictures of him on the mainstream media. You just will not. Black on white crime in this country simply does not get any exposure. It does not fit the liberal media narrative. It's really quite simple. They just don't want to talk about that. Their view of things is that the black person is the victim of white society, and it's always racism and bigotry and that sort of thing. They just do not want to go there if things are the other way around. Never in American history has a black person been no matter what they did or said, if the victim was white. It's that simple. They just, even Bill O'Reilly, I think, on one or two occasions remarked that those laws are there to protect minorities. They are not ever, ever there to protect people who are non-minorities from minority-committed crime. It's just another example of the way the federal government operates. The majority simply, I guess we have allowed our rights to be taken away from us. We don't really do anything about it. We will not, if things do not go, if the government puts a very bizarre law or they interpret things in a really bizarre way, if you go to your congressman, 9 times out of 10, your congressman will defend the federal government's actions. Your congressman is going to be completely and thoroughly unconcerned about what your concerns are, because 9 times out of 10, your congressman knows he or she will be reelected, and that is the only concern that any of them have. They're only going to do things to get reelected. They are not going to do things to their constituents. They are going to do things to protect and defend their actual constituents who are rank and file U.S. government bureaucrats. That's what the deal is. And the taxpaying voting citizens simply, they just don't matter. The only reason that the Second Amendment is still in effect in this country is because the elections, to some extent, still actually have some credibility. I mean, if it's very close, if it's within a quarter of a point or a half a point, if it's a real speaker like that, generally speaking, the Democrats will win if it's in a Democrat district, because the Democrat machine is going to be sure that it goes their way. If it gets beyond 2 or 3 points, obvious, do anything. That is why Democrats the veracity and the honesty of the 2012 election kept I think that there was a lot of fraud there. I think in places like Chicago and big cities like in Philadelphia, 8 or 10 voting precincts in the city of Philadelphia where not one single presidential vote was cast for Mitt Romney. And the fact of the matter is that just doesn't happen. I mean, you know, there is just no way that 100% and cast votes in a single way in the state. That didn't happen. The other thing, in 2010, when Harry Reid was up for election, and his challenger was this lady from Nevada State Senate, Sharon Angle. On the weekend before that Tuesday election in November, and she was up by 4 points in one poll and by as much as other polls. And in 48 hours, Harry Reid made up that difference. Every serious political person that I have in my life said, hey, this doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. Now, I believe that Harry Reid but the largest, one of the largest contributors to the campaign is the Service Employees International Union. Service Employees International Union members in most Nevada counties and most Nevada voting precincts are the ones in charge of maintaining and repairing the voting machines. There is just, I think it is simply too obvious for anyone to not question. Once you gain incumbency in the United States Congress, the fact of the matter is it's almost impossible for you to lose. One of our senators in Delaware, junior senators, a guy named Chris Coon, who described himself as having been a fierce Marxist in college, and who Harry Reid described as, quote, my pet, unquote, for Chris Coons has he's been a senator now for less than 3 years, and Chris Coons has a worth of $2.5 million. Chris Coons is going to be reelected. If you have that kind of money, very, very serious trouble. It'll be horrible. One of the worst things that can happen to an American today is identity theft. You know, whoever does, it may take months or even longer to recover. If you recover at all. So don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is much more than just your standard credit service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service. 24/7 365 there is nothing close to LifeLock. So to protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off, go to conservativenationmedia.com, click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions, and so may vary. More coming up. Don't go away.
Hey, Billy.
Yeah?
Do you want to go to the state fair?
Yeah.
Do you want to ride the roller coaster?
Yeah.
The big one?
Yeah.
The one with the reverse flip?
Yeah!
Well, you can't.
What?
You see, Billy, when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have done with it, including going to the state fair.
Oh, man.
Cheer up. This year, your parents will make it right. They're going to visit EnergySavers.gov, where they'll get tips on how to save energy and money. Then they'll add extra insulation and get a few of those Energy Star appliances. They could save hundreds of dollars a year. And you know what, Billy?
What?
They'll take you to the state fair next year.
But I want to go this year.
I know you do, Billy. I know you do. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Here's a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Oh, wow, and check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Penny Lane, they're in the bar, they're showing photographs. And every head he's had the pledge to put it down. And all the people at the men go, stop and say hello.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
I think that that's a fair question, don't you? I mean, seriously, when was the last time that you ever heard a liberal, even just a regular old Democrat, root for our country? It really doesn't happen, does it? It's just one of those things, you know, they are never on our side. They just aren't. And I think it's a, you know, I guess I just don't understand why somebody would be against the country. I don't get it. Why someone would never, under any circumstances, want their country, our own country, to win. You know, people, I'm in my late 50s now. I remember the Vietnam War very, very clearly. Actually, you know, pretty easy to remember. And America was divided into two camps. I guess, you know, what it really came down to, the, you know, now people look back and they say, oh, yeah, you know, some of us were protesters against the Vietnam War. And I always cut them off and I always say, you mean you were rooting for a communist victory, which is what the, oh, no, no, we just wanted our forces, you know, we just thought it was a civil war and it wasn't any. That's the kind of nonsense you always get from those people. I've got news for you. They were rooting for, they wanted the North Vietnamese communists to win. That's what they wanted. If you want America to pull out of Vietnam, the only thing that could possibly motivate you in that regard would be the idea that you would find victory by Ho Chi Minh, the North Vietnamese communists, in Vietnam, in other words, quote, to be desirable. Can you imagine? Imagine it is October 23rd, 1944, and there are hundreds of thousands of Americans on the Mall in Washington, D.C., demanding that they pull out of France. Can you imagine that? I don't think so. Yet we Dutch brought over the canal back to the Japanese. It was theirs. We were right. We can't do anything about Wake Island. They have the right. That's the analogy. That is the analogy. 718-309. This is the number. At Radio Free America, conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. And I am still, you know, we are still just kind of tallying up the things that Barack Obama has not been able to do since he got into office. Even though most of the things that I, you know, that he promised to do, I'm against, they still go on the list. He said he was going to close Guantanamo Bay. That's what he was going to. He was going to close Guantanamo Bay. I'm presuming that, you know, most of us in this country were, yay, that's great, that's wonderful. I'm not sure, you know, certainly no one ever asked what would be the next step after that, Senator Obama, or after the fact, President Obama. What would be next? What would happen to the Mohammedans that we had there? You know, the ones that were attempting to blow up Americans or who actually did blow up Americans. What, you know, what do we do with them? I wonder what he would have said if anybody had asked him. I would imagine it would have been, well, international law doesn't provide for us to, you know, have the right to keep them captive, so we're going to send them back to Afghanistan or Pakistan or Iraq, and let them peacefully live out their lives with their families, because after all Muslims are peaceful, or some nonsense like that. I mean, seriously, guarantee you that's what it would have been like, you know, no question about that. It is just about 20 minutes now until the end of hour number two here at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where the number is 718-305-7176. Duke Brooks here. Thank you very much for being along this evening. Some interesting things are happening on the network. I'm going to tell you about them in a moment or two. I also wanted to mention this is from the Daily beast. Now, I really don't know what the Daily Beast is all about. I think that Mary Catherine Hamm is associated with it, or was at some point. I'm not really not sure. I don't read it that much. But this is from the Drudge Report, Daily Beast through Drudge. Jofi Joseph, I'm not making this up, the National Security Council official fired last week for tweeting secretly under the moniker at NatSecWonk, albeit anonymously, accused a senior White House official of leaking classified information related to United States intelligence operations against Iran. Joseph, who was outed in a report Tuesday in the Daily Beast, criticized and insulted dozens of Obama administration officials, lawmakers, Capitol Hill staffers, and journalists during his two-year stint on social media. But his number one target was Deputy National Security Advisor for Communication Ben Rhodes, a senior official close to President Obama. Rhodes worked for the same department as Joseph, albeit at a much higher level. In last summer of 2012, Joseph issued multiple tweets under his @NatSecWonk account suggesting that Rhodes was the source of classified information leaked to the press about the Stuxnet virus, a joint U.S.-Israeli cyber warfare effort to sabotage Iran's nuclear centrifuge program. Joseph, as an official in the Non-Proliferation Bureau of the State Department and later inside the White House, was part of the administration's team working on the Iranian nuclear issue. Okay, so in other words, if you blow the whistle on somebody in your government White House Office Bureau Department Division authority, you're going to get fired for it, even if the other guy is leaking classified information that is going to be helpful to our enemies. The only conclusion I can draw from this is that people at a much higher level in the White House are okay with the idea that that information was being leaked, and ultimately it would be benefit of them and to the detriment of our ally Israel. About 16 minutes now before the top of the hour. You know, I don't know about you, but in my life I have been very lucky to have had quite a few policemen as personal friends. The first helicopter instructor I had was a New York State trooper, and I became friends with that community. I had a great guy named Ron Kirby in Fayetteville, North Carolina, work for me when I lived down there. I had a small company down there. Any cop will tell you that Friday nights, especially out on the beat, can get a little dicey, shall we say. But now, Friday nights on conservativenationmedia.com are going to be even more interesting than that. We are very proud to welcome a retired police officer, Kathy Hinners, to Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, with her new program, Daily Roll Call. Kathy served her community in New York State for years as a police officer, and now she serves America by keeping a watchful eye on the Muslim Brotherhood and any other troublemakers unlucky enough to cross her path. Don't miss Daily Roll Call with Kathy Hinners, Friday at 8 Eastern, 7 Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. That is going to be happening on this Friday, and I think that you are going to like it. You are live on Radio Free America. Who's this?
This is Kathy Hinners.
Hey, Kathy, I did not recognize your phone number. Now I feel like a real dolt, you know?
Don't. It's fine.
However, I'm going to ask you to stand by for a moment. We're going to take care of a little bit of business right now, and then we're going to be right back to Kathy, and she's going to be telling us all about her new show, Daily Roll Call, so you stay right where you are.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
A single ember from a wildfire can travel over a mile. It can ignite and destroy your home and even your community. To that ember, all those branches hanging over your roof might as well be giant matchsticks ready to spark. The pile of dry leaves and twigs clogging your gutters are the perfect kindling to start a fire. And all those debris piles and brush around your yard, which you haven't taken care of yet, are pure lighter fluid, ready to ignite. There are some fire hazards that aren't clearly marked, and they can impact you and your neighbors. Learn to spot them, because your home is better protected from wildfire damage when your whole community is prepared. Visit fireadapted.org for more tips on how to get started adapting your home and community to wildfires. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay. Then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
In a while, and even though the summer is way behind us, I can still hear optimism, can't I? This is Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. 718-305-7176 is the number, and I am joined by our newest superstar, the host of Daily Roll Call, which will now, first time, Friday night, Kathy Hinners. Welcome aboard, officer. You have the right to remain silent, which I hope you do not exercise, because I want to hear what you have to say. How are you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm great, thank you very much.
You didn't know that my first helicopter instructor was a New York State student, did you?
I'm having a hard time hearing you, Duke.
Uh-oh.
There we go.
Well, all right, is that better? All right, now. Why don't you, instead of discount, why don't you tell us a little bit about what your specialty in your post-law enforcement career is and what you're going to be talking with the people about on Friday night when your show debuts.
Okay. Well, after 20 years on the Albany, New York Police Department, I have found that basically there is a void in police training. So we created a three-day course. I've traveled extensively over the last 5 years teaching law enforcement about the Islamist agenda, particularly the Muslim Brotherhood. So, you know, we decided that we need to inform people. And as a police officer, I have that intelligence and that background to be able to tell people exactly how the Muslim Brotherhood has managed to infiltrate and indoctrinate throughout our country. So we're going to be spending some time on letting people know throughout the country where they are and how they're affecting everything from our education of our children to law enforcement. And we'll probably throw in some good stories there. And I'm hoping to actually even give some bits of information every week to law enforcement, those that are listening, to be able to understand what to look for when they go in the stores or how to understand their names, and so much more. So I'm hoping that it'll get a very diverse audience, and I'm hoping that a lot of people will call in with questions. And I'm excited. I think it's going to be a good time, and I look forward to it.
Well, it is going to be a really good time. I know that there are going to be a lot of people listening. And we are very, very happy to do this. And I think you're going to have a blast. I'm certain that, no pun intended, I'm certain that anybody listening is going to really enjoy it as well. And I'm especially, I mean, you know, sometimes when I hear about Mohammedan terror cells, and there are now communities that are being overrun by Mohammedans. Dearborn, Michigan comes to mind. Apparently, it's happening in Tennessee and other places as well. And I view this as a very serious problem for Western civilization, because Mohammedan culture and civilization is not compatible in any way or at any level with modern Western civilization. So this is, you know, this is going to lead to very, very serious problems. So I'm really looking forward to hearing some little fashion cop stories. I'm sure you've got a few of them.
Well, and I think that people need to know that it is not an Egypt problem. That they are very much alive and well here in this country. And so I hope to be able to expose some of that to people that might not understand or can wrap their head around the fact that this organization is here among us. And it is not just in, you know, larger cities and larger states. Like you mentioned, Dearborn, they are everywhere. And so I think this will be a tool, hopefully, that people will utilize and listen and learn, basically. So I'm looking forward to it.
Kathy, have a great night. I can't wait to hear you on your debut on Friday night.
All right. Thanks so much, Duke.
Thank you, Kathy. Have a wonderful evening, and be safe out there, okay? A great person. You know, I mentioned, well, we have Kathy starting with us on Friday. We have on Halloween a new show tentatively called Voice of the People with Victoria Bingham. You have heard her on my air a couple of times. I've known Victoria since about, I think, 1975 is when I met Victoria, and she is very, very bright. I know that, you know, some people have said to me, isn't that that woman that you had on talking about conspiracy theories? Yeah, she does have some conspiracy theories, but that's not what the focus of her program is going to be. Kathy Hinners begins with us this Friday night at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central, with Daily Roll Call. Next Thursday, which is Halloween, the 31st of October, we will be debuting Voice of the People with Victoria Bingham. And then on the following Thursday, which is November 7th, we will be debuting a new show right after Victoria's show that will be called the Liberty and Constitution Community with Matthew Opalisky. Matthew is a private expert on the U.S. Constitution. I've heard him discuss with people in person and in other venues quite a few times. And I think if I were going in, Matthew is not a lawyer, and he doesn't play on the radio. But I think if I were going into court and some aspect of the U.S. Constitution were at issue, I think I would want Matthew to be the person on my side. Very serious firearms aficionado as well. So it's going to be a show. So we've got three shows that are going to be coming right out of the box here on conservativenationmedia.com. starting this Friday, and for the next 2 weeks after that, we may even have some other ones that are in the waiting in the wings out there. And we have recently started a program. We need to be around here on Tuesday nights, because at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central, we have a Just Cause. And, you know, look, I'm a law and order kind of guy. There's no question about it. That having been said, I still find to be utterly, completely intolerable and unacceptable the idea of an innocent person being convicted of a crime they did not commit. Not talking about somebody who has some fancy lawyer that is able to come up with as many technicalities as possible. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people that are actually innocent, that were either misidentified or who were so overwhelmed because they came into contact with the police, the cops, or that kind of thing. Sometimes people, innocent people, are convicted and imprisoned because of lawyering by the prosecution. This is unacceptable, absolutely unacceptable. And our Tuesday night program at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central, with Sam Thurmond and Cliff Stewart, is called A Just Cause. And I cannot do anything more than just than getting a person exonerated and getting them out of jail. They had a fellow on last night from Texas who was on death row in Texas for something like 18 years. The guy didn't do it. The DNA proved that he didn't do it. If I understood everything last night correctly, the prosecutor was able to get exonerating DNA evidence that showed that the accused was innocent. The DA was able to get that evidence suppressed. This is something that, you know, we can't have this going on in this country. And this country's judicial system, without question, is based on the idea that it is better to let 10 guilty men go free than it is to put one innocent man behind bars, even though there are very heinous criminals out there in this country today. I am with that idea 100%. So that's a Just Cause Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, and Tuesday nights at 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central, Grit and Grace with Jennifer Meadows, all of that right here on conservativenationmedia.com. And we are, in fact, growing like a Texas Longhorn. However Texas Longhorn grows, frankly, I really just don't know how a Texas Longhorn grows, but apparently they grow very, very well. Thank you for being along with us this evening. I look forward to speaking with you next Wednesday. Have a wonderful week.